Welcome to episode 28 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming at you from Tuscola, Texas, home of the Family Podcast Network. I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Well, guys, as I'm sitting here enjoying my cup of green tea with orange in it, I was thinking about a topic for today that I really want to discuss with y'all, and it came up in a forum that I was been watching and monitoring in LinkedIn, and somebody had mentioned talking about dealing with stresses of kids, and you know, it really kind of brought me to the idea of talking a little bit about, do we take kids' stresses literally? We're going to talk a little bit about an article that I found on greatschools.org and another article that I had read several years ago about kids' stress. And we're going to talk a little bit about those today. And do we take those seriously? And what does it mean if we're not taking those stresses seriously enough? Before we get into that, let's jump into our housekeeping real quick. Guys, I always ask that you will share this on Facebook and Twitter. Consider getting on and liking me on Facebook and then also following me on Twitter. Guys, also check out looking into following these things on iTunes and Stitcher. You can do that really easy. Also consider becoming a PTAC member. Guys, if you feel like you are getting 20 cents an episode out of every single one of these, consider becoming a PTAC member. PTAC stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. Just kind of a fun way of becoming a member. When you support this show, you just help me keep this show on the air, help me keep doing these podcasts. I will always kick these podcasts out to you for free, so I don't feel the need of setting up somebody where they have to be able to pay to get these. But I believe that you guys as an individual have the ability to be able to help me out, whether it's $5 a month or $50 for an entire year, which saves you about 13%. Guys, consider checking out our blog. Also, check out our book list as well. I just added a new book to the book list up there that is very much so worth checking out. It's called The Boy Who Was Raised a Dog, a very wonderful book that was written about what happens whenever kids stay stressed out for too long, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So check out that book list. We've got some new additions. As always, if you are listening to this and you have not purchased Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages to start out with, you need to do it today. Hop up in the book list, click over to Amazon. I've got them broken down into hard copies and Kindle copies, as well as both Kindle app download spots for Android Marketplace and iTunes as well. So jump on there, get those books. You need to read those books. Absolutely muy pronto. Let me know what you think about them. Guys, also consider signing up for the FPN newsletter. Basically, all you do with that is you enter your name, you enter your email. You're going to get first response in figuring out whenever a new post goes up, and you're going to know. And then you can click through and follow that right over here to FPN and start listening to those, which means you can get in there before my bandwidth starts getting dragged down by all the downloads that we're getting. Guys, always consider listening to FPN on your mobile device by signing up through iTunes and Stitcher Subscribe. I've got that in the right-hand corner over here. And also, guys, consider connecting with FPN through Facebook, Twitter, RSS, YouTube, the blog, and the forum. All right, guys, now that we've got all of the housekeeping out of the way, let's jump into our topic. So our topic for today is taking kids' stress serious. Do we really do that? Are you really doing that as a parent? And what does it mean? And what can it do or not do for a kid when we don't take their kids' stress seriously? You know, this came up because I think in a lot of ways this is a really easy one to forget. I think that as we get older, as we get more advanced in our ages, the more issues that we go through, the more problems that we deal with, I think we kind of look back at the issues of kids kind of lightly. Because, I mean, let's be honest. If you think back right now to high school and the absolute worst thing that happened to you then, whether it was failing a test, stressing, bullying, or, you know, somebody bullying you, maybe it was even just what mom and dad, you know, what you're afraid they were going to do when you got home. I mean, whatever it was. A lot of times we can look at those stresses and think now to where we're worried about how are we going to be able to make our mortgage payments, how are we going to be able to keep our car, how are we going to be able to pay for food this week, you know, how am I going to deal with my mom or dad dying or something to that effect. And we look back on those stresses that we have when we were kids and we see where our stress is now and we think, man, we had no clue just how hard it could be. Now, first off, that is absolutely true. If you guys are like me, at least, I look at most of the issues that I had in high school and junior high and et cetera, and I kind of compare those to what I'm going through now, and I think, that's nothing, man. That is nothing. But, you know, We have to be careful with that because we have a tendency to make light of kids' stress. I mean, everything from when they're little to they're older, whether it be tying their shoe, potty training, whenever they start to get older, maintaining grades. As they get even older, having a boyfriend and a girlfriend and then breaking up or going out or whatever else there's going on. You know, the tests that they have to take as they get older that aren't just about passing the grade, but these tests that are about contingent of whether or not they're going to get into the college they want. And, you know, these these things are stressful. They're absolutely stressful for our kids. And I think that we have a tendency to forget that kids experience stress just like us. There was an article that was put out a few years ago, and I am kicking myself because I cannot find it. I looked for about 45 minutes today online trying to find it for you guys. I cannot locate it. But there was an article that was released a few years ago where they did stress rating scales between parents and kids. And what they found was that kids rated themselves as being just as stressed out as their parents were saying that they were stressed out. And so, you know, I thought it was a real interesting thing to think is that, you know, even though our issues may be more difficult, may be more scary, the fact of the matter is, to a little kid who's never experienced the worries about keeping electricity on, to a little kid, a breakup with a boyfriend or a girlfriend could be devastating and so ridiculously stressful. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they're in such a stage of life where there is so much demanded and expected of them. These are those years, like take high school for instance, these are those years where they're supposed to be making the decisions of what they're going to do for the, and I quote, rest of your life. Which I think is a farce. Just because you do something doesn't mean you've got to do it the rest of your life. But I understand what parents are saying when they do that. This is something that if you put time and education into, you're going to probably want to do the rest of your life. So I get that. But that can be a lot of pressure. Breaking up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend can be a lot of pressure. Performing well in football or basketball or any other sport or academics or whatever the junk can be really stressful. And, I mean, if you stop and think back to how stressed that you got out, that you got, excuse me, while you were in high school, was it any less than you feel now? Well, probably not. More than likely, if you think about that, if you went back in time and you were put back in those situations, you'd probably handle them better because now you've been through it before. But think about it whenever you weren't at a position where you've been through it. How'd you feel then? You were probably monster mondo stressed out. You know what I'm saying? And so I think this is really important. I do want to take you guys to an article I did find while I was researching for this. It's over at greatschools.org. A really, really good article that was written on how stress affects your child. I'm just going to read y'all some clips. I've cut out a lot of information out of this. I'm going to have the show notes down there. Click over there and read the whole thing because let me tell you, it's freaking good. Get over there and check it out. It's excellent. You will learn something from it, even if you know a lot of it because it's just really good. But I'm going to read you some excerpts out of it that are particularly pertinent to what we're talking about today. Stress, bad for the body. This is written by Hank Pellissier. I may be mispronouncing that, but y'all can read for yourself. Stress, bad for the body, bad for the brain. We've seen the articles, watched the 11 o'clock news on the silent killer, and complained to friends and family about how stressed out we are. Listen to this. While we know that adult stress can lead to serious illnesses like ulcers and hypertension, we often don't associate these maladies with children. But research is suggesting that chronically stressed children do pay a heavy price. I'm going to jump down. And they say, what is your child caught in the rat race? What happens when the brain is stressed? Not for a few seconds, but year after year. Stress hormones end up swapping out our bodies for days, weeks, and months. Research shows that cortisol specifically chews up the brain if it loiters there too long term. Does that sound familiar, guys? I've used that word, cortisol, on here, the stress hormone, on several different occasions. When lab rats in Israel, Germany, USA, China, and Italy were given daily injections of rat cortisol for several weeks, it killed brain cells in their hippocampus region, leaving them depressed, anxious, fearful, immature, needy, and unable to learn new behaviors. And then they make a joke on here. They make a joke. Hank says, E.G. stuck in the same old rat race, which I thought was funny. Jumping on down, it says, in a 2006 study, researchers at Arizona State University noted that long-term stress withered the dendrites, or the neuron branches in the hippocampus, and decreased dendrite length and branch numbers. What is all this we're talking about real quick? Dendrites are just formations inside the brain that look kind of like little branches. If you guys have ever seen like the start of any movie where you were inside the brain and it looked like these little branches with electricity flowing across them, those are the best representations they can come up with, or at least what they think is the most accurate representation of what dendrites look like. These are basically like little electrical sockets that carry electricity across currents. The idea being is that as it carries across those currents, it helps bring that information back to the brain. We can interpret memories, etc. That's where we learn new ideas and whatnot. Let's see. Dendrites provide the avenue along which new learning takes place, and the hippocampus injury, central to memory brain functioning, leads directly to learning impairment. Now, listen to this. None of this is good for the adult brain, but children's fast-developing brains with dendrites, numbering in the millions, are especially vulnerable to the ravages of cortisol. Study after study, and there's a clickable link on that if you want to go read the studies, has found that children who are exposed to extremely stressful situations via violence in the home or corporal punishment have significantly lower IQs than children not exposed to traumas. If you ever want to read an amazing book, like I mentioned earlier in the housekeeping section, in my books list, there is a book that is written called The Boy Who Was Raised a Dog. Now, there is a lot of technical info in that. However, it is written so well that I'd be willing to bet any one of you guys, if you guys have any interest in the brain and stress and trauma and all that other stuff, read that dadgum book and it will blow your socks off how good it is and how fascinating it is. It's actually written by the guy who did the work with the kids who came out of Waco after the Branch Davidian incident. And he actually worked with the kids and how they had been brainwashed and retrained and reprogrammed. And so he did the work with them. And guys, let me tell you, it'll blow your socks off. It is so freaking interesting to read. So anyway, check that out if you ever get a chance. Moving on with the study. But newer studies suggest it is not only extreme kinds of stress that can affect kids' abilities to think and learn. In 2009, Virginia Polytechnic Institute and the State University scientists found that kids exposed to household chaos. Listen to that, household chaos. Haven't we all been able to say that we've had some household chaos going on? Is your a household that has it at all times? I don't know. I'm not trying to say it is. I'm not trying to push you into that, but be thinking about it. Those kids who came from household chaos had lower IQs and more conduct problems. A joint study with Harvard Medical School and McLean Hospital and the Catholic University of Korea in 2009 found that children who experienced maternal verbal abuse had lower verbal IQs and less white matter in their brains. White matter is what affects learning by coordinating communication between the different regions of the brain. Tell me that is not fascinating. Kids who grew up in homes where their mom verbally abused them, they had lower verbal IQs and less white matter, which is what helps those different parts of the brain talk to each other. I mean, tell me that is not interesting. Moving on to the next section, he says, stress is catching. I'm going to cut some of these chunks out of here. But he goes on to say, parents' own stress levels can affect their children's cognition because tension is contagious. There's a particular author that he mentions in here named David Cole. He said, Cole asserts that in extreme circumstances, parental stress can even weaken a child's development. Another author named John Medina, he quotes, the emotional stability of the home is the single greatest predictor of academic success. If you want your kid to get into Harvard, go home and love your spouse. So do you hear the interconnectivity and how well this article really blends right into Family Podcast Network philosophy? So the bottom line to all of this stuff is the stress at the home is infectious and it's contagious, and that it can actually be a predictor of academic success. Moving on. Luckily, experts say they aren't calling for parents to cloister their children in a stress-free bubble. Not all stress is bad, claims Stephen Finkenbeiner, a professor of neurology and physiology at the University of California. The act of learning is a stress of sorts on the brain, right? So he's saying learning itself is stressful. But this sort of mental stress can be good. It can lead to the production of factors that support neuroneural health and synapse formation. It is also important to note that these experts say it appears to damage the children's brain caused by stress might not be permanent. So if your kid has been through year-long's worth of stress over and over and over, constantly being stressful, all hope is not lost. It looks as though it can be reversed. So a powerful antidote. This is just one of the things that they say for a powerful antidote. So what is the cure? All of these experts at great schools contacted seem to agree. Exercise. So not only did they contact these experts that study this stuff, they all had one thing in common. Exercise. Exercise, says McEwen, pointing at all the studies claiming that physical activity stimulates hippocampus growth, and group exercise, think like team soccer and games like that, or tag, fosters neuron development. Guys, again, think about how this applies into it. I'm going to put a link to my show notes back to one of my previous podcasts on playing with your kids. And there's a reason why I created that episode outside of just my belief in it philosophically. It is also, again, one of the main goals of Family Podcast Network is to connect research, so it's not just me being a daddy giving you my opinion. It is researched, empirically based stuff to why I believe what I believe. And that's the reason why I say play with your dadgum kids. It's because that exercise and those relationship skills have been proven to develop and promote neurological growth, brain growth. So I want you guys to chew on that this week. I'm going to keep it nice and short because I want you guys to spend more time thinking about this than listening to me talk. Remember, kids' stress is equal to your own. When kids report how stressed out that they are feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, they report themselves just as high, if not sometimes higher, than their parents on stress-related scales. So remember that. So whenever your kids get stressed, take it seriously. Treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were worried about losing your job and not being able to pay bills and not being able to keep electricity on and not being able to pay for food. Treat your kids' stresses. Treat your little daughter's boyfriend breaking up with them as that. Treat your buddy, your little son, treat your little son who is having trouble with one of the teachers at school or bullying or whatever else is very, very seriously, as though you're losing your job. And again, we're going to eventually have to get to a podcast on bullying. I'm getting a lot of questions about it. We're going to eventually have to get around to it, but we're going to get there eventually. But take that bullying type stuff seriously as well. There is fewer things that stress a kid out than bullying. Also, guys, get over and check out the article on greatschools.org. I left out a lot of information. If you even remotely are fascinated by this brain stuff, get over there and check them out. Also, they have kind of a three-step list of managing your child's stress on the very first page of that article. Very worth checking out. I read through all three of them, and I was very much impressed at what they wrote and how they wrote it. So get on over there and check it out if you get a chance. Again, it's www.greatschools.org, and I'll put a link to that down in my show notes for today. Well, guys, I want to say thank you, as always, for joining me for this episode of Family Podcast Network. Consider sharing me on Facebook, liking me on Facebook and Twitter, and following me. Also, consider signing up for the newsletter so you can get these things quicker. Guys, consider becoming a PTAC member. I always want to plug for that. We're always needing members on here to help support the show. Well, guys, that is all for today. Remember, it is all about helping you, all about the relationships with your kids. Thanks for joining FPN, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a good week, and we'll see you at our next show.